Hi, today and I'm delighted to be speaking to Liz Nugent, best-selling author of Skin Deep. Hi Liz, how are you?
I'm great, Marianne. Thank you for having me on your show. It's lovely to be here. My people are from Roscommon.
Are they really?
They are. My father's family are all, his mother was in Neelands, all Neelands from Roscommon.
So they're from Roscommon town, are they?
Yes, yeah.
That's great to know.
I feel like JFK doing that. I am a Berliner thing, but I have roots everywhere, but most particularly in Roscommon.
Great. Congratulations on the success of your recent bestseller, Liz. It's called Skin Deep. I read it and I have to say I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Can you tell our listeners what the story is about?
Well, I can tell you how it starts with a woman, a middle-aged woman, down her luck, living in the Riviera, pretending really to be something that she's not, pretending to be an English socialite. But she has a corpse back in her grotty flat in Nice that she's kind of in denial about. So she goes out to a party, takes a load of cocaine with a stranger, and wakes up on the floor of the party the next morning, having drunk too much and overindulged. And she has to pick her way through the back streets of Nice to get back to her flat, where the flies have begun to gather on the corpse that she left there the night before. So that's the kind of the opening of it.
Yes.
And then we go right back in time to her true childhood, which is on a very impoverished island off the west coast of Mayo in the 1970s. And we tell the story of how she got from that point on the west coast of Mayo to this point in on the Riviera.
Yeah.
And we spend all of that time guessing who is the dead body and why she has killed him.
Yeah.
And it's only at the very end that we discover the answers to those questions.
Yeah, because I read the book myself and I absolutely loved it. And I didn't guess. I couldn't guess who it was.
Great. That's good to hear. And you're not supposed to.
And I read a lot of crime thrillers myself. This book I would describe as a psychological thriller, would it be right there?
Yeah. It's not even thriller. Thriller always kind of makes me think of car chases and, you know, detectives tracking down something. And it's not quite that. It's more maybe psychological suspense. I don't know. It's within the crime genre, but crime is a very broad church these days, so I don't really have detectives, I don't have cops hunting down something. It's just the sort of the psychology of what makes this woman tick and how she got from this point to that point and the tremendously bad decisions that she makes along the way and the lives of people that she ruins along the way.
She does.
That's not too much of a spoiler.
No.
Yeah.
She's a kind of... She's not a very likable character to some extent, but a part of me still... She's quite dangerous to be around.
Mm.
But a little part of you feels a bit sorry for her as well, or has a little bit of sympathy. But it was a great read, I have to say. And just to let you know, I get a lot of my books from the local library, because I read such a lot. And I was just going in to check, and for the amount of holes on your book, there was something like 500 holes on this book. So there wasn't there wasn't hope of getting it. I bought it, I have to say, the Kindle. I couldn't be waiting. So just
a million.
Not
that's
at all.
Kind.
So that's just to let the listeners know, if they want a really good book to buy for somebody as a present over Christmas, I'd strongly recommend it. I loved it.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been very lucky with it. It's I won 2 awards at the Book Awards for it last week.
Very good.
Ryan W. Listener's Choice and the Crime Novel of the Year Award, which I really, really wasn't expecting. I mean, I had told my husband, because, sometimes these award ceremonies can drag on a bit, and especially if you don't have skin in the game.
Yeah.
And my husband had said to me, oh, do I have to come? And I said, look, you really don't. I haven't a chance of winning this year. Like, the other books are just so good. There's no chance I'm going to win. So go off. So he went off on a little skate around Donegal for a couple of nights, a little holiday for himself.
Well, he might as well.
And I went to the awards by myself and then won 2 bloody awards. I couldn't believe it.
But that's even better when it was a surprise.
Yeah, totally surprised. And very grateful to all the readers, because a lot of it was down to a public vote. So just really grateful to the readers who took the time to buy it, read it and then vote for it.
Yeah, but it's great to see Irish writers coming on the scene as well, especially females.
Oh, God, yeah. No, it's been an amazing year for Irish female writers. So many of us producing work. But I'm kind of a slow one. I only produce a book every 2 years. But, you know, my writing pals, like Sinead Moriarty, would be a book a year. Claudia Carroll would be a book nearly every 9 months. I've a lot of writers who are friends who are far more productive than I am, and I feel like the lazy one.
Well, quality over quantity, you know.
Oh, well, no, I wouldn't be saying anything about anybody else's quality.
Well, I'm not saying about anyone else's, but you know, for yourself, if that's what works for you, because I was going to ask you, do you have a particular process for writing your books?
I'm fairly chaotic. Actually, at the moment, I'm in the Tyrone Guthrie Centre in Anna McCarrick in London, and this is where I come away when I really have to concentrate and focus, and I'm sort of 60% of the way through my fourth novel, first draft, and I have to really concentrate and focus because this has to be delivered in the middle of March.
Right.
So I'm going on holidays for my first holiday this year to Thailand on the 28th, and I'm just trying to get this mostly nailed down before I go so that I don't have to bring the laptop with me.
Oh no.
That's the plan.
I think it's a good plan you have there, because you have a deadline and then you have your reward after it, that if I do this, I have my holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you start writing, Liz?
I was kind of always scribbling bits and pieces. I was a great, before emails, I was a great letter writer. So wherever I was in the world, I used to write long, long letters home. And, you know, I lived in London for a couple of years in the 80s. And then in the late 90s, I was a stage manager in Riverdance. And I pretty much traveled the world with that. I was in America and Canada for 2 years. And then I was in the Far East. I was in Beijing and Singapore and Hong Kong, doing all kinds of travels with Riverdance. So I used to write a lot of letters, and to kind of amuse myself, I would kind of begin writing little stories and short stories and things. But I never really thought about writing a book. And then one day I just came up with this line in my head, and I thought, God, if I ever write a book, that'll be the first line. And that was the first line of Unraveling Oliver. So I'd say it was a year after I thought of it that I wrote it down. And then the rest of what I thought then was a short story evolved.
Right.
So I submitted that short story for a competition and it was shortlisted. And that gave me sort of encouragement to go on. And
yeah.
Then that short story evolved gradually over the course of about 6 years, I suppose, into a novel, into Unraveling Oliver, my first book. And that did really surprisingly, shockingly well for me. And then they asked me to write another one. And I thought, oh my God, I didn't expect this. So
just going back to Unraveling Oliver there. I believe it's been commissioned by Leonardo DiCaprio, no less.
Well, it's been optioned.
Optioned.
Various stages, optioned, which is no guarantee that it'll be ever be made. But it means he's stopping anybody else from making it for the time being.
That's excellent.
And yeah, so fingers crossed that happens. It happens to lots of books get optioned, but very few get actually made. But fingers crossed, he's just renewed the option a month or two ago. So it's looking slightly more likely.
Oh, I hope
until I'm in the cinema or in front of my TV watching it, I won't get my hopes up, because these things happen all the time. And a lot of the time it comes to nothing. But it's very exciting that somebody like him has taken an interest.
It certainly is.
Or behind it, yeah.
So how did he get interested in the book, Liz?
Well, my agent would have contacts with, she would be allied to CAA, which is a creative artist agency in Los Angeles.
Right.
So my books would be out on submission at the moment. And because Unraveling Oliver only went out in America last year in 2017, that was the first chance I could have a look at it. And yes, DiCaprio's company snapped up the option straight away. Lying in Wait is out on submission at the moment. And even though I thought that was a more kind of linear story, I thought it would be an easier story to film. That hasn't been optioned yet. My fingers are crossed. I'm kind of hopeful to get news before Christmas. But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, because I was going to mention Lying in Wait there as well. I read that one as well.
Yeah.
Very good. And it was included... It was included in the Richard and Judy Book Club.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that was, again, another surprise. Like, all of my entire writing career has been a surprise because I started so late. You know, I didn't... Unraveling Oliver wasn't published until I was 46. So, really, this has all come very late in life, which I think is probably a good thing.
Yeah,
because I'm well able for it now.
But
you
it's
know,
great.
I think if it had happened when I was younger, I might have lost the run of myself.
Like we all might have.
Yeah.
When you think of it, you say late in life, but in actual fact, you should say the middle of my life.
The middle of my life.
Do you know?
Exactly.
It's great encouragement for anyone else out there who's listening, saying, oh, I'd love to write a book, and will I write a book? And sure, it's too late, I'm too old. You're never
too
old.
Never too late.
Never, ever too late. In actual fact, I think often if you're a bit older, you have more life experience that you can write about.
Absolutely. There's no way I could have written the books that I write now
without
all of the life experience that I have. And I think it's one of the few areas in which age actually stands to you.
Yeah.
Do you know, because, you know, I'm not disrespecting young writers. Of course, young writers write fantastic books. But I think your books can only be enriched by your experience.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And question there on that, did you get to meet Richard and Judy?
I did.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've had them in there every day. Interviewed me for the podcast. They're not on TV anymore, but they have a podcast and a website that's sort of run by W.H. Smith, the bookshop. So it's all in tandem with the bookstore. It's all very corporate, I suppose. But yes, I did get to meet them, and they were tremendously nice, I have to say. Both of them were thoroughly decent. And I got talking to Richard in particular, because at that time I was writing about Skin Deep, and sort of before the podcast began, I was talking to him about, you know, that I was just back from Monaco, where I'd been for a month researching. And he said that he had a house in St. Paul de Vence, and I said, oh, I'm using that in the book. And we ended up chatting about all this kind of stuff. And Judy was absolutely lovely, like everybody's mummy. She was just gorgeous. The two of them were just really, really lovely. Couldn't have been more welcoming and charming and interested.
Yeah, because they come across that way. I like them now. I really like them, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're just as you see them on TV, you know.
But that's nice. You see, that's part of their success as well, I suppose. They're being themselves.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
If you're on, when they start off in this morning, they were on for, 2 hours solid a day.
Exactly. That takes a lot out of you.
It does. And they're there a couple of hours beforehand as well, preparing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can be false for a while, but after 2 hours, the true you is going to come out, I think.
And I think the same could be said of people like Graham Norton. I'm being very name-droppy here now.
Oh, go ahead. I love this stuff.
I met Graham Norton at the Book Awards last week, and I'll say for him, he's exactly as you see him as well. I mean, I couldn't believe it. He came over to congratulate me.
Oh, brilliant.
And I had thought, geez, I'm not going to get near him because he's been mobbed for selfies all night. But when I did meet him, I said, is there any chance of a photograph?
And he knew you.
Very obliging. So he was very nice. And he has written a great book as well in the crime genre, A Keeper. His book is wonderful too. So
I haven't read that book yet. I read his previous one.
I highly recommend it. I think it's terrific.
Have read his previous one. And of course, I read all his autobiographies as well. I love them.
Yeah.
And finally, Liz, you worked in Fair City. What was your role there?
There I was, my job title was Story Associate, but it didn't mean that I got to write for the show. I was part of the story department. So I had a little bit of influence here and there in the direction of stories, but mostly my job was administrative. It was, you know, checking that all of the actors were available and the sets that we wanted to use were available for that week, and trying to cut back on the numbers of cast used to save budgets and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of, I have to admit, it was kind of frustrating for me because I really desperately wanted to write.
I know.
But because of the way my contract was, if you're a staff member of RTE, you're not allowed to write for them. You have to be on contract. And I just felt I could never give up my permanent pensionable day job on the chance that I might get a contract, because you there's no guarantee with the contract.
No.
They might hire you for 3 weeks and then never hire you again.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't take that risk. So it was only, I only really left RTE just before Lying in Wait came out.
Good planning, Liz.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
smart move. But, you know, if you got a full-time job there writing, you might not have been as inclined to write your book.
Exactly. I think if I had been writing for Fair City, I would have put all my stories into their show rather than into my own books.
So I just say, I truly believe that this time in my life, everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's been lovely talking to you, Liz.
Lovely talking to you. Sorry for the frog in my throat. I don't know where that came from. It just appeared.
They'll appear just when they're not needed, but not at all. We could hear you there. And thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us here at Ross FM. As I said, your new book is Skin Deep, and your other books are Unravelling Oliver and Lying in Wait, which I can also strongly recommend. And I hope Leonardo DiCaprio comes true for you on those.
Me too. Fingers crossed. Thank you so much. Lovely to
not
talk
at all.
To
thanks a million, Liz. Bye now. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.